You know what I mean? Because, you know, what is it? Women are from Venus and men are from Mars, or women are from Mars and men... No, I think I got it right the first time. But guess what? You're going to get it fresh. You're going to get it new. They haven't ever shared this with anybody else. And here they come. Amen. And listen, listen, let me tell you something. If they get in a little squabble, Chris, would you just come between them? I know you'll be gentle. Amen. You just take care of them. So you both need one?
Yes.
That would probably be wise. Well, are you all ready for a journey? I certainly hope so. I do have one request of you, as I'm sure Mary Beth will echo it. We expect you to place a demand on the anointing. What do I mean by that? There's something inside of us that needs to get out, that we need to give birth to it, and we need you to help us with the delivery. So if you will come with expectation and you expect Holy Spirit to deliver something through us, it will be awesome and amazing. And I have needed to start correcting my speech, and I was really impressed to do this a few months ago. It's Holy Spirit. It's not the Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. It's Holy Spirit. Now, yes, if you're referring to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, but I need to get better in my speech. Would you please open us with prayer, my lovely bride?
Lord, I thank you that my brothers and sisters have come expecting a unique word from you, Lord. A unique word that's just for them to meet them in their place of decision. Because they have heard all sorts of things, and if they're just showing up, then it doesn't matter. The late worker still gets the full wage. Lord, you are meeting them with what they need. So, Lord, we are just vessels. Use our mouths. Use their ears. Impart in their spirits. Get it in their soul. Let it permeate through their mind so that their body functions as kingdom, in Jesus' name.
Amen. So what is this workshop called?
Uniquely, the mind of Christ.
So we brought a little prop to help us. And hopefully, during the course of this workshop, his wisdom, his word will be illuminated. I want to open with this scripture. Well, actually, let's put up the first slide there, if you would. Or the next slide, please. Does anyone know where this is? Labors with Christ. This is our wedding day. And it's just down the road in Waverly. So our journey started here as far as husband and wife. Mary Beth, I guess you know her, spoke on this topic in Georgia. What was that, January? Mm-hmm. And was it April? When did you speak?
In Anchorage.
In Anchorage and New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. And May in New Zealand.
So three times. And then last month I spoke on this topic in Ketchikan. So... she's the one who broached the idea of us teaching this together. I was really not on board with it, but I did relent. I did agree. And this is going to be interesting. I've approached her several times. Well, let's get together. I didn't get a lot of cooperation. So this will definitely be spirit-led. I've put a few slides together. We may get to some of them. We may not. We're just going to be on a Holy Spirit journey. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Spirit has something amazing in store for each and every one of you, that you are unique. And I want to just focus for a moment on your uniqueness, uniquely the mind of Christ. No one in all of creation can express the mind of Christ like you can. You know, I got convicted, and my dear sister Sabre helped me see this a few months ago. It's not about, and I understand the spirit behind what, when people say this, it's not about less of me and more of him. It's about more of him. It's about more of him in me. It's him expressing himself through me. We're not clones. We're all unique. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. So he wants to express himself uniquely through us. He wants us to keep our personality Amen? He just wants to express it. So I understand people are talking about their carnal nature, their fleshy mind. So we're going to deal with that here this afternoon. But he wants you to stay unique. He wants to express himself through you uniquely. Amen. All right, if you would bring up the next slide, please. I believe this is our opening text. Would you read the first slide and I'll read the second part of this?
Romans 12, 1 and 2, living sacrifices to God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
Next slide. All right. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why would Paul write this command here? Commanding us to renew our minds, to not be conformed to this, the pattern of this world. Because it, I read it as we could be conformed to the pattern of this world, even though we're born again. We could be conformed to the pattern of this world, right? Have you ever been guilty of that? A lovely study, if you want to study this, is going to Romans 7 and 8, and it talks about, you know, Paul in Romans 7, the good that I want to do, that's not what I do. In fact, the evil I don't want to do, that's what I do. So we're going to talk about this a little bit in further detail. I want to talk about testimony and why it's important to give testimony. Revelation, I don't have the slide, Lisa, but Revelation 12, 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. It does not say that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and their theology, their ideology, their doctrine, by the word of their testimony. Why is testimony so powerful? Why is testimony so important? And I'm not against good theology. I'm not against good ideology. Why is testimony so important?
Nobody can take your testimony away. No one. That is yours. That is real. That is something that you've lived. And when you have suffered or experienced such great joy, that's ingrained in you, in every cell in your body. When somebody triggers something, don't you go immediately there to that experience? And you know? And the positive ones, it's great to relive. And the negative ones, you have to get healing. But then you can immediately get to the healing of it too. No one can take away a person's testimony.
Amen.
Amen.
Very good. You know, it's. If you were here last night, you heard me say this. You know, and it's in Scripture about it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Not all sacrifice is obedience. But obedience will always require sacrifice. At a minimum, your will. Not my will, but yours be done, Lord. You've heard Nancy's testimony and how much she has to sacrifice out of obedience. You know, we can bring our sacrifice, and it may not be obedience to what God called us to do. But when you're in step with the Spirit and you're being obedient to what He's asking you to do, it will require sacrifice on your part. Setting aside my agenda for His. Putting on the mind of Christ, you know, pivotal to renewing your mind, putting on the mind of Christ, uniquely expressing the mind of Christ, is seeing yourself the way God sees you, seeing yourself the way Christ sees you. We need to deal with our identity here for a moment. Many folks go through this life getting their identity, mistaken identity, from their performance-based religion. If I'd only done this or I'd only done that, God would be pleased with me. Scripture even says in 1 John, says, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than a heart and knows all things. How many of you believe you know better than God? Any show of hands? I don't see any hands. The proud person says, I know better than God. Let's deal with false humility just here for a second. You remember Balaam, the prophet Balaam? And he tried to curse God's people. And he tried to do it for profit, but he was trying to curse what God had blessed. Why on earth would we try to curse what God has blessed? In other words, why would we have some lowly opinion of ourselves when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords declares us to be worthy because he said so? Not of our works, because he loved us, because he loved us, because he loves us, because he loves us. He declared us to be worthy. That's our identity. Amen? Our identity is in him. So true humility is agreeing with God in what his word says about us. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For as many as are led by our emotions?
No.
Our circumstance?
No.
What's some things God says about you, Beth?
Repeat. Finish my sentence for me. I can do all things through Christ. Here's another favorite of Kelly's. You know, we hear it so often because he's ingrained in us. I am the head and not the tail. I think they looked at the pretest and they already know the answers to our quizzes.
Somebody talked on this morning. We're more than conquerors. Amen? We're blessed and not cursed. As I said, I repeat it. True humility, this is a definition God gave to me years ago. True humility is submitting to God and agreeing with what his word says about you. Acknowledging that what God says about you is true. Your true identity is found in Christ. You are blessed and not cursed. So if anything in our life, anything in our situation, any harm, anything that is contrary to that is not of God. We need to align our thoughts and our attitudes with his word. What happens if you don't get your car aligned every once in a while? Because it'll get knocked out of alignment, right? Amen? Wears them out. Prematurely. You get premature wear. When we're not in alignment with what God wants for our lives, we can wear out prematurely. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. So when we start taking on all these things, we start identifying with the world, we start conforming our thoughts to the pattern of this world, we start wearing out needlessly, prematurely. Amen? Amen. Mary, when the angel came to her and told her that she was going to give birth to the Christ, we won't go into the whole story, but she said in Luke 1:38, she said, "Let it be unto me according to your word." Say that with me. Let it be unto me according to your word. Let it be unto me according to your word. What his word says about you is true, whether your circumstance, your situation lines up with it or not. His word is true. Could you bring up the next slide, please? Oh, back one, I guess. I didn't know you were already on that one. There you go. You want to talk about that?
There's a lot of different ways, they're called paradigms, to describe how you get an understanding and how you start living something new. I'm an educator by trade, and we have all sorts of acronyms. We have all sorts of methods, and, you know, you've probably heard all sorts of different pastors share it, but sometimes we need to hear it in a lot of different ways, and students need to have information presented to them in lots of different ways, because sometimes they don't get it that particular way, and they need to hear it with a different method, or they just need to hear somebody else tell it to them, or they finally need a chance to ask questions. So here is an information progression. We are presenting you with some information. That's just knowledge. That's just words on a page. That's just words spoken out. And if you don't know the language, then you're not going to even understand the information. But we're all speaking English here. We're all reading English, and we are being presented with information. But if we just stay with the information, because you could repeat to me a Bible verse, you know, if I gave you my slides, or Kelly's slides, actually, you could read those words. But are you getting revelation? Is that word percolating in you? Is something that's been shared here today sparking something in you? Because we want that spark to take off and ignite. Because until you take the information, have a revelation, you're not going to change your behavior to have a transformation. So we want changed behavior. God wants you to move from glory to glory, because we can't just keep doing the same old things the same old way all the time, because there's new people that come into our life all the time, yes? There's new experience that we have to take in all of that information and process. What is going on? What's going on with my children? What's going on with my parents? We're all developing in life. It is not the same today as it was yesterday. Talk to Cassie. Do you feel the same right now, honey? She got new life in her. I bet she's getting a real transformation.
And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is the will of God? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not our responsibility to get ourselves to heaven. Jesus made a way. He paid the price. He said it's done, it's finished. Yes, we have to come into agreement and accept it, but we cannot earn it. Our responsibility as Christians, as believers, is to have his kingdom come here, to manifest his kingdom in our lives, to have a transformed world, transforming the world one mind at a time, one heart at a time. As we transform, as we renew our minds, conform to his kingdom, manifest it, change the atmosphere around us, that's what's going to change our cities, our states, our nation, and this world. But it starts right here. It's a grassroots thing. My mind was not always right. I don't know, I'll date myself. You remember that Cool Hand Luke movie? And the warden, we're going to get your mind right, Luke. Luke's mind was not right. You know, I've taken some carnal nature hikes, as I'm sure you have as well. And we'll hopefully get to that in Romans here in a moment. But we're not going to practice safe church here. You want to go into that? Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah. It's hard to step out. I wrote a note at one of these conferences. God can give you an experience to take away your pride that doesn't have to be shameful. But how many times do we step out and do something? To be intimate with one another, you have to take a chance. You have to put yourself out there. You know, that's what he's talking about, practicing safe church. It does get messy to be intimate. How else can you grow a church? How else can you grow the kingdom without building relationship with one another? I have to give you a peek at my messiness. I have to share with you, oh man, when I may be messed up, so you won't do it. But then when you have dirtied your diaper, that also means I need to get out the adult wipes, not necessarily the baby wipes, and help you get cleaned up. Because sometimes I mess my diaper too, and I need you to help me clean mine up.
4 weeks ago in Ketchikan, it followed the same pattern as the meeting. So I went up on Monday, so I had Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm hiking, beautiful area up there in Canada, hiking up Deer Mountain, you know, Ward Lake, all the places. It was awesome. Holy Spirit, I mean, I was like, I wasn't drinking from a water hose. I was like drinking from a fire hydrant. Just, he was giving me so much. I had pages and pages of notes I couldn't even get to in the workshop. This week, I'm at work. I'm a human resources business partner for a company. I have about 1,000 employees in four states, that I'm responsible for. My HR manager in Abilene, Texas, quit with no notice. I've had OSHA knocking on my door. I've had anonymous complaints to our hotline at corporate in Illinois. I have two factories in California just one thing after another. Which one do you think was easier to have the mind of Christ in? Which situation, which circumstance do you think it's easier to have the mind of Christ? Alaska? Sure. Filled with the Spirit, God, you're communing with God, you know, enjoying His beauty. But you know what? And that's why I said it the other night. The Holy Spirit was on Deer Mountain in Ketchikan, Alaska. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is in the mid-Ohio Valley in West Virginia.
Hey, Kelly. Is the Holy Spirit in your office at work?
He is. So whether it's challenging or easy, we're to have the mind of Christ. We're to think on our circumstance, our situation, to see ourselves the way God sees us. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Not our circumstance, not our situation. So, you know, the church thing. So just as a bride and groom need to be intimate to have a pregnancy, a birthing of something, so this is the bride of Christ. We need to be spiritually intimate with Him. He wants to birth something in us. And it only comes from intimacy. It is possible to dwell in the same house with someone and not be intimate with them. Are we the dwelling place of God's Spirit? Said we are. But, you know, it's possible to be in the same dwelling and not be intimate. I dare say we've had times where we were in the same home, but we were not being intimate with one another. There was a rift between us. We were not sharing. Amen?
Amen. Hand on hip.
What's that?
Hand on hip and remembrance.
Well, we won't go into what you were doing, but why we were acting that way. My whole point is, you know, we need to see ourselves the way God sees us. We need to think on our circumstance, our situation, the way God sees us. We need to be intimate with the Lord. We need to take down the facades because we're just fooling ourselves with the barriers that we erect, the walls we put up. Amen. Would you bring up the next slide, please? And you get to talk about this one, too.
Before I talk about this one, I think I just want to point something out. Notice how when Kelly asked me to talk about what Safe Church was, he went on with his own definition of what Safe Church was. Is there a right one or a wrong one? Do you have to say, oh, yeah, Mary Beth said it right? Or do you have to say, oh, Kelly said it right? So I wonder why two of us would be up here sharing. When you hear something, when I present something, does everybody hear it the same way? No. Just like the information, revelation, transformation, we process it given our own prior history. And this is what they said. And that's why when an event happens, things need recorded quickly. That's why you fill out police reports. So that in 5 years, when things may finally go to trial, your memory's probably gone, but you have that recollection right then. So you're processing it through whatever's going on. So I'm seeing us standing up here, you know, he's kind of frustrated because we didn't create notes together. I have my own set of notes, which use this slide when I spoke. He has his own set of notes, which use this slide. But I bet we're still going to describe it in two different ways. So when we're talking about illuminating uniquely the mind of Christ, I'm just standing up here modeling for you. My big push is being equally yoked as husband and wife. And you don't have to be married. That's not my push. But if you are married, wives should be submissive to the husband. The husband should love the wife like he loved the church. And he died for the church. So that's even a bigger, higher calling than being submissive. But what that also means is if Bree, come here, honey, and I are giving a talk, and I am probably the one who is more knowledgeable, and I would use her, even though she is probably more submissive to me because she might not know as much, do I still need to be submissive to her? Because there's some things that she probably knows. You're a Paul. everybody needs a Timothy and a Barnabas. So what I'm looking at here, thanks, honey, is Kelly is the Paul. Kelly is Pat Sajak. I'm Vanna.
And we did not rehearse this, and I've already thought about that.
I'm Vanna, and I am illuminating the letters as you guys are picking them, and you're figuring out the message. Yes? But we need a Barnabas, too, which is the crowd cheering us on to go better. So, submission. And what I so appreciate about the Refuge Church is that it is a safe place to practice gifts, and it has a high respect for all people, no matter who you are, no matter what gender you are, no matter what age you are. There is a love and a respect. So when we're up here and we're kind of bantering, and when my nephew lived with us, he would watch us, because we pick at each other. You know, we've been married a few years. We can finish each other's sentences, but we pick at each other a little bit. And my nephew would just pause and get very still and just look back and forth from one to the other, just waiting for one of us to explode. And we never did. And he didn't quite know what to think of that. But it's a way of relating, because we know each other so well. We have forgiven each other so many things. I can stand up here, submit to him. Please use your notes, Kelly. And whenever you ask me to speak, I know that God will give me the words to say. Because when you go out to minister, are you not going to have the mind of Christ? Because when a situation arises at work, my sister is not there to help me. My husband is not there to help me. When my principal is in great need because some crisis has just happened at my school, I need to get to that student, or I need to get to the principal to help him. And who do I always have? The Holy Spirit. And not the Holy Spirit. I have Holy Spirit with me. So I have the mind of Christ. So no matter if crisis is going on, I need to focus. I need to say, no matter what the circumstances, my God is greater.
Amen.
My God is greater. I need to do what needs done to keep that child safe. I need to call children's services. I need to call the police. I need to remove that child from wherever. You know what it is that needs to take place, because stuff happens in school. Stuff happens in homes. The mind of Christ. I'm having my worst day at school, and a child walks into my office who is in much greater need than me. What do I have to do? I have to set my mind, my will, and emotions off to the side and minister to that student, because I'm the school counselor. And you know what? What was it, Sarah, that shared? You know, your problem doesn't look so as big when you find somebody who has one worse than you. And then you realize, you know, God's going to take care of you too. But you give that time, because you do have the mind of Christ. You're able to put yourself aside to work on what needs worked on at that time, for such a time as this. Because God meets you at your place of decision. I decided that child is more important than me, and I can set all that aside because I have what that child needs. Regardless if my sister Gay is with me or not. Regardless if my sister Lisa is with me or not. I don't know how to minister like Save ministers, but I've watched her minister before. And I believe that God can give me the grace to carry it out, because I believe that I have a unique personality because I have the mind of Christ. Oh, that was a long time to get to this slide, wasn't it? Mr. Pat, do you still want me to talk about the slide?
Yes, I will.
We are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. We're created in His image, and God is spirit. Our spirit's born again when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. When our name's written in the book of life, our physical body, we look in the mirror, still got wrinkles, might be balding a little, we might be getting a little thicker around the middle, whatever. but it's our soul, our mind, our will, emotions. That's the battleground. That's where the fight is daily. Fighting that stinking thinking, fighting not having the mind of Christ, having the carnal mind, seeing ourselves the way the world sees us, conforming to the pattern of this world. So that's where the battle is. And you notice the heart, and Pastor Darren even talked about that. The heart's really kind of where the soul and the spirit meet. And the word is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even the spirit and soul. Why we can finish each other's sentences, or we could be watching television, we could be driving down the road, whatever, and it's uncanny, the same words will be coming out of our mouth at the exact same time on things. And why does that happen? Any clues? We spend time together. You want the mind of Christ? Be intimate with Him. Spend time with the Lord. Will you pursue me? Is the question the Lord is asking us. Will you pursue me? Selah. Next slide, please. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Romans 7, verse 23 and 24. Next slide, please. Let's finish it up with verse 25, and I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So part of the challenge is we're still in this flesh suit, but with our mind, the mind of Christ, we're going to serve God. We're going to serve the law of God. We're going to serve Him. So if our flesh is acting up a little bit, I'm not saying it's okay. You know, but it's not who we truly are. We are a spirit. Our spirit man is born again. Next slide, please. There is a war in our members. We just read the scripture, flesh, the carnal mind versus the spirit. We must understand and come into agreement with the fact that we're at war. We have an enemy. He wants to take us out in the battle. Field is our mind. And God's after our mind too, because He wants us transforming this world. He expects us to bring the kingdom, to manifest the kingdom. As Jesus is right now, so are we in this world. And He wants us manifesting that, expressing the mind of Christ. Next slide, please. You want to read this one?
Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. May I share?
Sure.
How many have a Facebook account? I think most of us. Most of you are local, right? Except for the ones way out of town. Have you seen in the news lately the man from the Ravenswood area who abused and molested the baby? This is where it's a challenge. So when I read that article and I look at Facebook posts, and these are people that I know are good Christian people, and they are posting things like, let's start a petition to publicly hang this man. I'll have to admit, when I first heard it, was I of that carnal mind too? Oh yeah. If that was my baby or my grandbaby, would it not rise up in me that I would want to lash out in my carnal nature? And it's taken me a long time to get a soft heart, and I don't know that I could do it. But that man is still a child of God. And if I can't go to that man and preach the good news to him and offer forgiveness and show him life and peace, not death. It doesn't matter his circumstances or what he's done. If I personally can't go to that man, then I can pray, Lord, send somebody who can. Because not one Not even the murderer, the abuser, the liar. We have all fallen short. We've all sinned and fallen short. That's a challenge for me, and I'll admit it's still a challenge. But that man needs Jesus in a very big and real way.
Thank you. Next. So under a reactive model, we have a stimulus. Something happens around us. We see something, and we just respond to it. I'm challenging us to have a proactive model. So there's a buffer in between there. So we receive a stimulus, something happens, we see something, we think something, and we have the freedom to choose how we're going to respond. Are we going to respond with the mind of Christ, or are we going to respond with our carnal mind? We're going to respond in a spiritual manner. We're going to manifest the kingdom of God, or are we going to manifest the pattern of this world? Next, please.
If y'all are local and have followed Ohio State, there was a coach that shared this, so everybody thinks that he created it, but the coach didn't create it. It's been around for a while. You can probably tell him where you learned it. I learned it from you.
I learned it at work, you know, one of my business management classes.
It's part of your human resources training. ERO. It stands for event plus your response equals the outcome. So you are the one that chooses your response. And if you're quick to act and you don't have the mind of Christ, that outcome I don't think is going to be that great. So I have to personally, I've admitted it, create a buffer time because my initial reaction is very carnally minded sometimes. And I will admit, there are some times when a student has interacted with me in a very negative way consistently for a while, I just have to say, I can't deal with you now. You need to go talk to somebody else. I love you, but you have made me mad, and it's not going to go well right now. So we create a little buffer so that the next time they come along, we can interact in a good way, and we can talk about what just happened. But my response and your response, we can have the same event, is going to create a different outcome.
Confessions of a pastor. So I'm living in New Orleans, and I'm moving. So I get one of these U-Hauls that the cab goes over, or I mean the where you store stuff goes over the cab, right? So there's a little bit of an overhang. And I'm coming up to a stop sign, and a guy blows through it. So I'm very patient. Now, I sling the door open. I stand up to yell at him, hit my head on the top of that thing, chip my tooth. I was not feeling the mind of Christ right then. I mean, my head hurt. I chipped my tooth. And what did that guy still went on? I didn't choose to respond. I just reacted. Put on the mind of Christ. Kindness, yes, kindness. Next slide, please. All kinds of things on attitude. Chuck Swindoll, I encourage you to read his. It's very long, so I won't read it here. But we need to take responsibility for our attitude, that I alone am responsible for my attitude, the way in which I view my circumstances, the way in which I respond to my environment. The devil didn't make me do it. Who used to do that? Flip Wilson? Who was that that said that? The devil made me do it. It was Flip Wilson, yeah. The devil didn't make you do it. You know, we're responsible for how we respond. Let's respond with the mind of Christ. And here's where I had the notes, Abe. So where'd she go? Not less of me and more of him, but more of me in him. More of me operating in his mind. Next slide, please. You want to read this one?
Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope.
So how's the Lord think toward us? Shouldn't we align our thoughts the same way? That he's giving us a future and a hope. He's giving us peace. Got any chaos in your home? We do not tolerate chaos in our home. I mean, from the time we got married and, you know, my son He's 30 now, was living with us, so he was acting up. You know, there's just, we do not tolerate chaos. We will have peace. And you have to fight for peace. Just like to say, you know, when I was in the Army, I don't know who coined the phrase, but freedom isn't free. You have to fight for peace. That sounds kind of funny. In the Army, we also had a saying. I was a tank commander. I was on tanks. I was a tank commander in Desert Storm. I was telling Beth this earlier, you know, about our gun control. But we also had another that said, we maintain peace through superior firepower. We have superior weapons as a believer, as a Christian.
Is that your visual aid now?
Huh?
Is that your visual
no,
aid?
No, I'm getting ahead of myself. Next slide. For as a man, for as he a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Next slide, please. And this was actually the text we were given to talk on, and this is out of the Amplified. This is 1 Peter 4, if you want to read that, Beth.
So, since Christ suffered in the flesh for us, for you, arm yourselves with the same thought and purpose. Patiently to suffer rather than fail to please God. For whoever has suffered in the flesh, having the mind of Christ, is done with...
Next slide.
Intentional sin has stopped pleasing himself and the world and pleases God, so that he can no longer spend the rest of his natural life living by his human appetites and desires, but he lives for what God wills.
Not my will, but his. Not my will, but yours be done, Lord. Amen. Next one, please. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Who has a sound mind in here? Amen.
Amen.
Y'all still out there? You getting this? It's been long. I know it's been long. Been very patient. It's been a long weekend. We're going to finish strong, though. Amen. Say, I have a sound mind.
I have a sound mind.
Amen. Hallelujah. Next one, please.
Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
So displacement. So how do we displace those carnal thoughts? We displace them with these. We take them and we replace them. What's the principle of displacement? That's something we only hold so much volume. So, well, maybe yours is better. So this is what? Is this 12 ounces, 16 ounces? Probably 16.9 something. It can only hold so much air, so much water, you know? And if we want to make more of one or the other, we have to displace one of those other things. So if we want to get rid of the carnal mind, the negative thoughts, all those thoughts of evil and harm and bad stuff, we need to displace it with something else. And these are great things to displace those other thoughts with. Amen. All right. What's our greatest... next one, please. This one's one of my favorites. 2 Corinthians 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, but for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Next. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What is the greatest weapon of the enemy? And the next slide's our clue.
Fear, false evidence appearing real. And Sarah and I, all sorts of other people have already talked about it. Most of what you see and hear doesn't come to pass. It's just worrying. It just makes you anxious. It just causes you stress. You know, the mind of Christ is believing in Christ and believing in Holy Spirit to work things out. I can get all worked up about it, or I can relax and say, God's got this. So I can go on and on and on and on about the negative talk and about how I've never done it before and how nobody I knows how to fix it, or I can remember what Lisa and Tim taught me when they team taught. You can only have one thought at a time. So let's take that negative thought and replace it with a positive thought, because we are powerful, positive people. Let's choose to dwell on, I can be an overcomer.
So this is a shell casing from an AK-47. As I said, I was a tank commander in Desert Storm. This was taken from an Iraqi soldier. I took this from him. He was meaning to harm me with it, just like the enemy. We have an enemy. He shoots fiery darts at us, right? Pretty scary to be shot at. Would you agree? You like getting shot at? No, not in the natural, even in the spirit. We have an enemy, folks. The thief comes to what? Kill, steal. The thief has no rights. He's a thief. He's trying to steal. He's trying to kill. He's trying to destroy. He has no legal rights. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. This is a shell casing from an M1 Abrams tank. Superior. We hear you hoping. In fact, would you put the picture on the next one, please?
This one's big and heavy.
See, she's smiling. We've done this before. But this is just a visual representation of the superiority of our weapons. And what are our weapons? Well, first putting on the mind of Christ, but we can do some things too. What is our offensive weapons? When you think about the armor of God, the Word. You getting tired holding that?
I can build my physical muscles along with my spiritual muscles.
Next slide real quick. I don't know if you can read that. Can you see the name of my tank there? Huh? It's called Cantankerous. I named it. I was not happy. But we can get a little cantankerous with the thief, right? Because he's come to take from us what's rightfully ours. So just in the natural, see, my name Kelly means warrior. That's part of my testimony. What's your testimony? My middle name, Dean, is from the valley, and I never understood it. I lived on a hill growing up, but I'm from where? The mid-Ohio Valley. As a kid, I always despised bullies. I could not take it. I would interject myself on the playground, on the school bus. I got kicked off the bus for taking up for a kid the bully was picking on. In 4-H, I was a sergeant at arms. It just seemed like in the natural, I've always been in that position of warrior. And now spiritually, he's positioned me to be a spiritual warrior, to not take it. My mandate, my divine assignment is to protect freedom. There's nothing more valuable to me than the freedom that we have in Christ. For whom the Son is set free is free indeed. It was for freedom that he set us free. Why would we be taken captive again? The thief is coming to kill, steal, and destroy. Next up. So this is all part of the armor of God. I just want to focus on the helmet because we're talking about the mind and the mind of Christ. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So we're protecting our mind with our salvation. Salvation. Father God willed it. He willed it from the foundation. He willed that we would be saved. The Son, God the Son, fulfilled it at the cross. And the Holy Spirit sealed it. He is our seal. He is what enables us to have the mind of Christ. We were talking earlier about grace. Grace is not simply God's unmerited favor, which it is, but it's that ability to live this abundant life, to walk according to what he's called us, to walk in everything he's called us to walk in, to have the mind of Christ. That's the work of Holy Spirit in our lives. He's not some thing. out there in the nether regions. He's right here. Let's be intimate with the Lord. Amen. Put on the mind of Christ.
We're at 50 minutes.
50? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're talking about our weapons. Next one up. So, the word, the offensive weapon, the word of the God. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It's going to prosper in the thing for which he sent it, right? It's going to not return void. It's going to prosper. Do you know that the word of the Lord can come through you? You can speak his word. You should be speaking his word. If you have his mind, you are speaking. You should be speaking his word. So when you pray, you're speaking his word. So when you pray, Jesus, his disciples came, said, teach us to pray, Lord. That's what happens, Beth.
Am I reading the scripture?
Yeah.
Luke 11:2. So he said to them, when you pray, say.
Something needs to be coming out of your mouth. Right? When you're praying, you should be saying something. Next one. Pray with belief, Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So you say something, you believe it. Next scripture, if you would read it, please.
Romans 4:17. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did.
So we're making declaration, huh? We're declaring his word. We're saying it. We're believing it. We're calling things into existence. We're created in God's image and his likeness. He's talking about a barren woman here. That's where the scripture comes from. Is there barren places in your life? We're not denying that there's barrenness. We're just calling forth life. We're speaking life into a lifeless situation. There might be barren minds. Maybe you feel like you have a barren mind right now. It's been conformed too long to the pattern of this world. Well, I challenge you right now to transform your world by renewing your mind. Say, believe, call things. This is one of the things, these next three scriptures, we can kind of hit those real quick. But this was Jesus in John 17. You know, he was praying. He was saying things. You're going to see a theme through these next three scriptures. And we'll go through them real quick as we wrap up.
John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
Next.
11. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be ones as we are.
One more scripture.
20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us.
When they were in the upper room, they were in one place, in one accord. There's something about unity. You see, Jesus praying that Father and the Son are one, disciples, that they would be one. That we are one with the Father and the Son. Amen?
Amen.
So this is how Jesus prayed. This was his offensive weapons. He's calling us to be unified saints. So when we pray, we're saying something. We're saying it with belief. We're calling things that do not exist as though they do. And we're to be unified. Next scripture. Ephesians 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. It's for such a time as this. It's not by accident. It's not by coincidence you're here. It's not by coincidence you've been here this weekend getting fed. I know we're all getting, our bellies are full spiritually. We're getting a little groggy from the feast that we've been on. But I encourage us to redeem the time. In fact, next slide, here he's talking about redeeming the time means to purchase, to buy up. Here it means to rescue from loss, improve opportunity, to improve for great and important purposes. Redeem the time, folks. There's something special going on. There's something, your response. Some of us will leave here with good intentions, and sadly, they'll probably go back to the status quo, the things the way they were before, and hopefully that's not true. Hopefully you press in and you say, you know what? I need a different response. I need a change in my outcome. I need to respond differently. I need to think the way Christ thinks about me and my situation. Amen?
Amen.
I'll set it up. You're going to have to read it, though.
Okay.
My father passed away 3 years ago. He had written a letter to his children to be opened at his passing. And in that, he wrote this. You're going to have to read it for me.
In death, there is little value to leave behind except kind words and deeds. This phrase sums it up. One kind word said to the living is worth more than a million tears over the grave. Jack Schultz.
What's Nancy been saying about kindness? Be kind. Have the mind of Christ. Be kind. Redeem the time, folks. You don't know. We don't know if we're going to be together again like this, at least in this place. Let's take advantage of the opportunities that have been given to us. Make the most of each opportunity. See the situation the way Christ sees it. And we're almost there. Y'all probably heard this Latin term, carpe diem. Generally translated, seize the day. It literally means pluck the day. Pluck the day. Make the most of each opportunity. One last thought. Daniel 11:32. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Do you know your God? Do you have the mind of Christ? Are you committed to uniquely expressing the mind of Christ in your own flavor? It's better than Baskin Robbins. There's more than 32 flavors in here. I don't know how he's in here. But you know, we each have a flavor. God has seasoned us uniquely to present him in a unique manner. And while we're in unity, we're in one place, in one accord, we will uniquely express his mind. We're going to take advantage of the opportunities we have. Be kind, loving to one another. Speak life. Choose life and speak life. When Beth and I first got together, you know, and I told her, I have no stones. You know, she was telling me all her stuff. I said, I have no stones. I choose life. We choose life. We speak life to one another. I encourage you to choose life, to speak life to one another. Every opportunity you have a choice. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. We got a little memento.
She has it.
For you to remember. Or talk about them.
What's in that bowl, Bree?
Marbles.
Marbles. Have you ever heard the saying, oh man, he's lost his marbles?
Get angry and you go crazy.
Right. So as a remembrance to keep the mind of Christ and to not lose your marbles and go crazy, Bree's going to bring you around.
So she's got a marble here, as Beth was saying. Represents the unique mind of Christ.
Now, why do I keep using Bree? I mean, I'm a teacher. I usually walk around like this, but, you know, Kelly, I didn't want to take because he's doing most of it. I interact with people. I'm used to being a teacher. So I'm always pulling on people's gifts, and I'm making people participate. And there, in my classroom, I taught math, and I gave you prompting answers until you finally got to the answer. You know, I asked lots and lots and lots of questions. That's what needs to happen, you know? We don't start out fully functioning in ministry. We learn a little bit at a time. And incorporating and helping others is how you learn.
Questions? Be Spirit-led.
Did you get one?
Be led in all that you do, all you say. See yourself the way God sees you. Even if you don't feel like it. You know, just because you've been victimized doesn't mean you have to walk around with a victim mentality. I was abused as a child. physically, emotionally, sexually. I had a lot of things to overcome to see myself the way Christ sees me. A dear brother out in Colorado is going to church out there, and you know, and I come in all condemned for my performance-based religion and come in church, and I just didn't even feel like I was worthy to come in the door. He said, Kelly, it's not about you, it's about him. He's the one who declared me to be worthy. Who am I to disagree with him? Honestly, who am I to disagree with the Lord? If he's called me worthy, then I'm worthy. He's declared you to be worthy. You're worthy. You have a testimony. Find that testimony. Sharpen it. Use it. Share it. You know what's so beautiful about a testimony? And my wife talked about it earlier. It's yours. We're not about bringing just knowledge to you and honing your theology. We're trying to get you into an encounter with Holy Spirit where you have testimony. You have character-building experiences. No one can take those from you. Amen? The testimony carries with it the idea, the connotation of do it again. Do it again, Lord. Do it again in that person's life. You did it for me. Do it for them. Don't you get encouraged when you hear testimony out of Nancy or others? Wow, if the Lord can do it for her. He's no respecter of persons. He'll do it for you. Amen? I have a... In Ketchikan, my giveaway is I found some at a store down there, some rocks, and they were so unique, but yet the same. And I have two left, and so I'm going to give one. I'll have a question. You can ask a question. So the first one to answer this question correctly that didn't already know gets one of these rocks. What was the name of my tank? Who said it first? Who wants the rock? You want it. It's blue. It's got black specks, so maybe, you know. You're contending with that dark carnal nature, but you're going to let the blue, the spirit mind, take charge, rule, right? You're going to have the mind of Christ. You want to do one?
I'm always the one that stretches and makes you think deep, and if we build relationship, you end up divulging everything. But it's a safe place. So you don't have to share who it is or what it is you need to do. But we have triggers. So I'm just going to ask, who today thought about a person or a situation and said, that's a trigger for me, and I need to put on the mind of Christ in that situation and start reacting to that event to create a different outcome? You don't have to share what it is. I just want to know who was sparked to say, thank you, brother. That's your remembrance. That though the event still may be the same, your reaction can be different. And I guarantee God will help you have a positive outcome.
Anybody want to feel the weight, the difference between the enemy weapon and our weapon? Anybody want to have this?
Oh, get out your phones. Take selfies. Hey, we can do Price is Right. Who's the next contestant on the Price is Right? Come on down. I don't know where Nancy is, but I think we're kind of filling time now. But it's fun. We can have fun with God, right? We can have fun with each other. Yes, it is heavy. You're welcome up to come up and stand with the illuminated Jesus, too. So what is it that you've written? What is it that you've done to take away the marble? You know, where are you going to put it? the picture that you take? Where are you going to post it? How are you going to share this? This is the start of your testimony. What sparked in you today? Where are you going to put something that's going to remind you about your change that you're going to make inside yourself? You have to decide to think differently, to act differently, to react differently. So what are you taking away to remind you? Your marble, your picture, you remember how hefty, you know? Again, I'm a school teacher. Modalities, just hearing doesn't always mean I'm going to remember it. Sometimes I have to do it. Sometimes I have to say it. Sometimes I have to write it. So what is it you're doing to remember, put on the mind of Christ?
I used to live in New Orleans. Down there they had a saying, and we talked about it in Pastor Darren's class. Land yap. It's a little something extra. You ever heard of a baker's dozen where they give you an extra one? So we're in land yap mode. We're giving you a little something extra here.